I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Welcome to another episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Thanks so much for listening. The Trolls phenomenon just continues with Season 3 of Trolls The Beat Goes On, premiering this Friday, August 24th, on Netflix. My guest today is the executive producer, Matt Beans. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great. Just really, really happy to talk to you.
Wonderful. How has this franchise, these characters, how have they all changed your life?
Wow, that's not the question I was expecting, but I love it. You know, well, one, it's the first time I've ever executive produced a TV show. So just immediate impact it's had on my life is it's made me so much busier. And then in addition, I think, like, when I started working on this show, the movie hadn't come out yet, but there were some early cuts that I had seen. And the first thing that you take away is, like, kind of the more over-the-top elements of it, the glitter farting and the cupcake pooping and all of just the very crazy characters. But then at the heart of it, I find that what this is really about is a bunch of a whole culture of characters who insist on being positive and optimistic whatever the circumstances are. And I think that's pretty healing and therapeutic, and at the end of the day, I think it's made me a little bit lighter and less cynical. So there you go. There's some things.
I think that is pretty well when it comes to healing, but, you know, so's the glitter farting. I think that just works quite as well as all the rest of that.
You gotta get it out, right?
You do. Sometimes you just have that party feeling in you, and it's gotta come out somehow, one way or the other.
Exactly.
Since this is your first show you executive produced, were there people who inspired you to get into that? Somebody you looked up to who's been an executive producer in the world of animation or television?
Yeah, 100%. I started working, I was an assistant to Seth Green and Matt Senreich, who were the EPs on Robot Chicken, and I worked for them first as an assistant and then as a writer for probably spanned 6 or 7 years, and those guys treated each other so well, and they were making a show that was, especially at the time when it got started, really different and had its own unique voice and tone. So I look to those guys, and still do often, as kind of inspirations for how to both run a show effectively and how to treat people so that they feel part of the thing that you're building and part of the community that's building it. Those two were big inspirations for me. And then just in terms of the creative inspiration, Dan Harmon, I don't know him, but his story circle kind of helped me figure out how to not only break down stories for myself, but to give everybody in the writer's room a way of talking about how to shape and structure a story so we can all be on the same page. So those thoughts spring to mind right away.
I have met Seth and Matt. I have been to Stupid Buddy where they make Robot Chicken, and I will send this tape to them because I think they will appreciate your kind words of them very much.
Please do. They are the best.
Yeah. Robot Chicken, obviously a stop-motion show, Trolls being a hand-drawn show. Did you notice some immediate dynamics going into Trolls, the differences between those animations as far as how you created these episodes?
Yeah, it wasn't in the middle of those two experiences. I worked on Croods, Dawn of the Croods, which is another DreamWorks show. So that was my real, my first foray from stop motion experience into hand drawn animation. And I'd say, yes, the main difference is the lack of immediacy. Stop motion, because of the way it's done, it's really localized. Like you said, you visited Stupid Buddy, and the producer's offices and the writers there upstairs in one part of the building, and then all the animation is actually going on right there on the floor just beneath them. And I think what that causes is just a direct connection, probably easier communication, abilities to rectify and change course, And with us, it's just kind of like a much more lumbering process where you have to communicate things overseas. You have to send a lot of documentation so that everybody stays on the same page. You're talking to people who come from a different culture and language, and that just takes more time. And then the advantages are, I think that the nature of hand-drawn is more fluid than stop motion. Because, you know, stop motion, doing a retake in stop motion is much more arduous, you know, much more painstaking than it is. You have to set up entire sets, recall puppets, you know, set up lights exactly the same way. It's just a lot more intensive to make a correction than it is in hand-drawn.
And you've been under an interesting time schedule when it comes to releasing these episodes. We had season one of Trolls in January, season two in March, and now season three in August. Are those kind of decisions, do you make those decisions? Is it the heads at Netflix about how you have been releasing these episodes?
Yeah, that's definitely not my decision. I don't know who makes that call. But I think the spirit of it is just to, you know, we want to give our audience episodes, you know, to space them out so that there's always something really close to look forward to.
Mm.
That's my take on it anyway, but I don't make those choices, and I can't say who does.
Hey, you know, three seasons of a show within 1 year, I think that's rare in television. I think that's very good for the fans who are really into this show. I think that's a big positive. I think it works. When it comes to these episodes of Trolls, is it the story content that comes first, or is it the songs? Because so much of this Trolls franchise has depended on the music and the vocals. Is it stories or songs that come first?
Awesome question. Yeah, I even think that, especially like after you watch an episode, the thing you take away from it. Now, you might remember an episode with a really exciting, fresh premise, and you might be able to say, "Well, that was the one where Poppy got into the compliment rap battle, or they had the pillow fight war," because those premises stand out. But I think 9 times out of 10, the thing that people remember is, like, that had that great song in it, you know, that mm-hmm. those songs are so catchy. However, story does go first, just the way that we organize things. We write a story, we find a place in an episode where there's an opportunity for a musical sequence, and then based on what the story is, we kind of have established what the theme of the song needs to be to support the moment. And then we send that to Alana D, who is our music producer, and she just kind of without fail comes back with something way better than I was hearing in my head. Sometimes I'll give her, like, you know, something that feels like this song or this song or this song, and she'll come back with something that I like even better than the references I gave her, which is amazing.
That is fantastic. My guest right now is executive producer Matt Beans from Trolls, The Beat Goes On. Season 3, you introduce a major new character who has this frenemy, a little more of a negative vibe coming into this really positive atmosphere. The character's name is Archer. Was it a risk to say, we're going to throw a little bit of frenemy negativity into this well-known positive vibe?
Was it a risk? Yes, it was. One of the things that we're always trying to do with our show is to find conflict, right?
Mm.
Because when you have a community that's entirely based on positivity, and not only based on positivity, but we really want to write our characters as always having everybody else's best interests in mind. And so if that's going to be your starting place, you've really got to work to sell that two trolls might have a conflict between them, or that something arises that isn't a Critter of the Week story where every time there's a problem, it's because there's some monster out there that's trying to get them, which we do those stories too, but we don't want to do them as every episode.
Right.
So I say the answer to your question is the Archer came out of the desire to create a character that does have more conflict, that immediately brings conflict into the story. And I think by the time the arc of his story is complete, that you're going to find that it is, that it really does fit in the trolls' world, in the same way that the Bergens belong in the trolls' world, you know. And they certainly weren't positive all the time either.
Yeah, and he kind of, he shakes up this dynamic. We've perceived Branch and Poppy to be a certain way for so long. If somebody new comes in, kind of tries to shake things up, it's always interesting to see what happens to those core characters, how they feel about that. I think it's interesting, he's called the Party Crashers. Have you ever crashed a party, Matt?
That is a great, man, another good one.
Thank you.
Have I ever crashed a party? I don't think so. Nothing's jumping to mind. So no, I have to admit, I don't think I have.
Yeah, I did. About 10 years ago, I was about 10 years old, and I was working for a television station, and it was the Christmas party, and they didn't know I was coming, and I decided to dress up as Santa Claus. So I come into this ballroom dressed as Santa with a big bag full of candy, and it's, you know, nice and funny and cute for a few minutes, and then I accidentally spill the bag, and all the candy comes out of the dance floor, and then it becomes, oh, yeah, he's a kid who came in as Santa Claus, and now I got to clean it all up and all that. But it was a fun experience. It definitely was.
I love it. I love it.
Walt Dorn voices Fuzzbert. He co-directed the first Trolls movie. He's directing the World Tour sequel that is coming out in 2020. Is he just all trolls all the time? He's got to be loving being a part of this show and the next movie.
Walt Dorn, and you mentioned Fuzzbert. Did you also in that mention Cloud Guy? I couldn't quite hear.
And Cloud Guy too, that's right. Yes, and Cloud Guy. There you go.
Yeah, so Walt is, I mean, he has to be eating, sleeping, and breathing trolls because I know that feature job is a monster, and he's just got to be in it all the time. And then you're right, the moment he gets a break, we drag him over to our show and make him do more trolls. I really think, because he's a sincerely nice guy and has been so positive and supportive of our show and so game when he shows up, that I just think that speaks very highly about the quality of person he is. And then he's really game. He, you know, he's not a trained actor. That's not his, you know, his first thing is art and directing and character building and all that stuff. But when he comes to play, he really brings it. We've even made him sing a couple of times. He's full on committed to trolls in every capacity, including our show. I think he's awesome.
Has he given you hints, or are you going to be having some kind of connections to Trolls 2 within the show?
The show is the same world, so we work really hard to keep continuity between our show and the movie. And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, before you promise that, are there any disparities? So by and large, we are in communication with the feature team so that we keep the world consistent. And so we don't know everything about what they're doing, but they've given us guidelines to work within, and we tell them what the basics of what we're doing so that everybody can stay the same page and Troll stays a unified whole, you know?
Yeah, guidelines is a good word. I like that word very much.
Yeah.
So, Matt, Poppy loves these scrapbooks. She loves them so much, makes new ones all the time. What kinds of memories, in terms of working on this show, would you put into your scrapbook of your Trolls experience?
Oh, yeah. I would say the first thing that I would put in there is writing the pilot of the show, the very first episode, because that was when I discovered that I figured out what the joke of Trolls is and why it's fun and funny and engaging. And then a little bit later, it would be when we were working on the episode Big Poppy, which is about the compliment rap battle, because I felt like that was the first episode where we were not only making a clear story, where jokes were landing and whatnot, but we really upped our game in terms of direction and getting a much more cinematic, dynamic movement of the camera, and it felt like we were really clicking on all cylinders there. I would also put in, for sure, working with my supervising producer, Frank Molieri, who's been in the animation game for longer than I have, and has been so supportive of the work that I'm doing, and he's held me together at times, and been the kind of person that you want not just to work with, but to be friends with. He's just an amazing man. So those things would all go in for sure. And then outside of that, just like, we have a great crew. We just have awesome people here. I come to work every day. There's not a single person that I'm trying to avoid. I have, and they're such creative, game people. Everybody wants to contribute to what we're doing, and it shows. So, those would be the things that would go in my troll scrapbook.
Yeah. I love it. I can picture all of that, especially the pilot script. I can see the first page of a pilot script going right into a scrapbook. I can picture that instantly. That's fantastic. Matt Beans, congratulations on the show. Best wishes with the continued success of everything.
This has been a real pleasure, Jackson. I thank you for the time, and I hope you have a good one.
You're welcome. You too. Trolls, The Beat Goes On. Season 3 premieres this Friday, August 24th on Netflix. Check it out. Thanks for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast, and we'll see you next time. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson.